the opportunity to be here today. My name is David Casoletto. I'm Executive Director of Ozarks Water Watch. We're a nonprofit water quality organization, and my presentation today is just for information, and again, I appreciate the opportunity. Ozarks Water Watch is, like I said, a water quality foundation. We changed the name of doing business to Ozark Water Watch, which was a little more public friendly. Our legal name is the Upper White River Basin Foundation. We were established in 2001 by area business leaders that realized how important the water quality is to our economic well-being and high quality of life. My officers of my board, like I said, recognize this importance of water quality. My boss, I guess, more or less, is Peter Hershen. He's the chairman of Ozarks Water Watch. We have Arkansas people. I'll show you the map here in a second. Vice chairman is Alan Fortenberry with the Beaver Water District. Beaver Water District supplies around one in every eight people in Arkansas drink water out of Beaver Lake. And so very important water organization, drinking water organization. Mark McDonald is our secretary with Bass Pro Shops, and Todd Parnell, retired recently from Drury University president, is our treasurer. We also have all other local businessmen on our board, Leon Combs, Jack Hershen, John Morris is on our board, Rob Johns locally with Ozark Mountain Bank, Tyson Cargill, Walmart, Joe White with Kennecott Camps, Dr. John Moore, and Tim O'Reilly, and Eric Holmes. We monitor and report on water quality. One of the handouts I gave you, the Stats of the Watershed, is our annual publication. We're just getting ready to finalize this year's for last year's data. We monitor and test the water. If you see on the back, your seal is listed because the test data we get here from Taney County is included in this status of the watershed report. We try to answer the question, how's the water in the watershed? We get that question a lot, and what we found out is we're holding our own. In some areas, we're actually getting better, but we don't see, except in very small pockets here, there a decline in water quality. We are doing pretty good. We provide advocacy on public policy issues. We give out public information, educate the public, support other watershed groups such as Table Rock Lake Water Quality. I know you've worked with them and people in Springfield like James River Basin Partnership. We look for funding and we do projects. It's a huge watershed. From Springfield all the way down to Fayetteville, all the way over to the Bull Shoals Dam. And it covers a lot of area, about 1 million people, 19 counties and 2 states, and 4 big lakes, Beaver, Table Rock, Taney, Como, and Bull Shoals. We are blessed with good water here in the Ozarks. I'm from southeast Kansas, and I grew up around the Neosho River area, and you don't see water like this. You see muddy water, and we're blessed with good quality water here in the Ozarks. But we do have challenges. Nutrients entering the water cause algae to grow and cloudy water. Now, algae of itself is not harmful unless it's in huge quantities. And, in fact, the water on the right-hand side is up around the James River, Cape Fear area where I live. And the fishermen will tell you a little bit of color in the water is a little better than crystal clear. So it's not that water on the right is harmful. You just don't want it to get to this, such as the algae bloom we had in 1999 near McCord's Bend on the James River arm. And that got people pretty worried about nutrient pollution. And that's when the phosphorus limits were put on the treatment plants in both the stone, well, in the watersheds of Table Rock Lake and Lake Taney Como. Then you had to meet 0.5 phosphorus limits which really, really worked. It actually kept, we have not had a major algae bloom breakout on the lake since that we put that into effect. The biggest source of nutrients, of course, was the Springfield, Missouri wastewater treatment plant. About 90% of the load to the James River was coming from there. And but we have a lot of small treatment plants. This is one in Taney County. It's down by Long Creek Sewer Company, Ozarks Clean Water Company that I am president of. We run this plant, own that plant, serves the Long Creek condos down there. In the Ozarks, our history of septic systems, individual on-site systems, outhouses, straight pipes running down the holler and things like that. Then we started moving to 55-gallon drums. And around 1970, when the lake was built, the tank of choice was the old 500-gallon metal tank. Most of those have now rusted out, and that's what we're dealing with today. There's thousands of these old metal tanks still sitting in the ground, and the liquids are leaking out because of the rust. A lot of times this was a trailer that near Shell Knob, the tank had collapsed. So the homeowner's answer was to cut the pipe right outside the back door of the trailer and just let the raw sewage run on the ground because the tank had failed. This was a lakefront home. The deck, you lifted up a trap door, and it's kind of hard to see, but that's raw sewage under that plastic or right below their deck. One of the worst things I've seen when the pipes clogged up, again, the pipe was overflowing right outside the back door of the home, and the kids were playing in raw sewage with Ken and Barbie. Horrible health hazard. But a lot of times you have failures that you don't realize. The homeowners really don't even realize they have failure. The lateral lines are installed right on the bedrock. In this case, the lake was about 8 foot below full. Today, that the lake would be right up to the tree line. You would not see this seepage coming out. But as the effluent travels down through the rocks, it hits a flat rock layer, and it makes its way directly into the lake without treatment because it requires soil. It requires a couple foot of soil. Just some other pictures I've taken over the years, same situation. Lakefront, when the lake is low, you can see the septic tanks leaking in. You can also see it on this picture of a bluff. There's a home right above those icicles. The septic effluent leaks down through the porous rock layer, hits that hard rock layer, and is forming icicles there on the bluff. If you follow it to the left and down, you can see that discoloration in the rocks. Imagine there was no bluff here. That septic effluent would be in your well water really quickly. And so if you talk to well drillers or people that work on wells, when you have a bunch of septic systems all in one area and you have wells, you'll find contamination of wells due to septics. Taney County, you guys are progressive. You have addressed the issue of the septics and the sewers. You have the sewer sales tax, the infrastructure to remove septics, the sewer district that maintains the system and provides customer service. You have a pump-out cost-share program, which is great. You're working on the biosolids project, which is now under construction. That's a fantastic project. Scott Sterrett is doing your current septic and inspection and permitting. Mike Cole, who does the testing that we include in the status of the watershed report. And, of course, John Suti is now heading up your environmental services group. So you guys are progressive, and you do address the issue. But I believe in local control. And when the septic systems regulation went over to planning and zoning, right now the state took over the authority for regulating your septic systems. I think a county ordinance would be a good idea, and most neighboring counties around here have a local ordinance. It allows greater protection of our ground and surface water and, of course, keeps the control here where it should be. regulation of septic systems is fairly new for Missouri, around 1980s. County ordinances started in the 1990s. They outlawed those metal tanks, required soil evaluations and permits. Homeowners could no longer discharge untreated sewage over the surface where it would be a health hazard. Stone County, where I live and where I've worked on these septic systems in 2002, would still allow conventional septic systems on almost any type of lot with very little soil because they didn't know what else to do. That's pretty common. Conventional septic system with a regular lateral field, the liquid flows down to your septic tank, flows into your trenches, usually pipes with holes in them and gravel. And then you need 2 or 3 foot of good soil before that black shaded area reaches, the effluent reaches your water table, because it needs 2 or 3 good feet of good soil to clean up, for the bacteria to clean the water before it makes its way to your drinking water. And around here, 2-3 foot of good soil is pretty rare. These are a lot of, there is a little soil here. It's got a lot of rocks. This is a lakefront property. They tried to install a lateral field in that, and you can see the problems. I was executive director at the time of Table Rock Lake Water Quality during this national demonstration project to try to figure out what do we do around this area to provide for septic systems, what type of system will work. And basically, we put an aeration system in. This is a septic tank with an aeration system, an advanced treatment unit. It will put water out into the environment on the left-hand side, that clear water. There's other types of treatments. Doesn't have to be aeration. There's peat moss filters. You can see those two jars are pretty clear. The reason the one looks like iced tea is because the peat moss has stained it a color, a brown color, but you can still see how clear it is. On the right is what comes out of a septic tank or raw sewage. And so what we found out is treat the water first before you even put it out into the soil. Then you run that treated liquid into a pump tank, which you see here, and you install drip irrigation in imported soil. You bring in 2 foot of soil, put the drip tubing down, and you then disperse that liquid into the soil equally. There's a distribution line there you can see, and it goes to that purple tubing that has an emitter every 2 feet. And so you evenly dose or send that liquid, that treated liquid, out into this new lateral field that has this imported soil. And we found this works, and in fact, not only has the local area started using this for the most part, but statewide this has become a very effective method of dispersing treated wastewater in very difficult sites. I brought to you today a copy of the Stone County Ordinance. There's no magic in that. It just happens to be one that I've worked with Stone County on. Christian County, Green County, Berry County. In fact, I would say that the more examples you get would be the best thing to do, and then pick and choose and find the best of all of them. I've owned property in Stone County with septic systems. I currently serve on the variance committee for septics in Stone County. And when the ordinance, which I'll talk to you a little bit about, was developed, I was on the development committee for Septic County. Our organization also administers a grant to give money to help people replace failing septic systems. A normal ordinance allows for permitting for repair and replacement and new construction. It has minimum construction standards and the requirements you have to do when you install or repair systems. Has maintenance requirements. A lot of times you'll require septic installers to register in the county. You can establish a variance committee like Stone County has. Of course, you have to inspect complaints, go out and do inspection of complaints of violations. And then if people will not follow the ordinance, you have penalties and fees. But one of the things that Stone County has done that is very unique, even in Missouri and nationwide, is they require a property transfer certificate, which basically means when a property sells, the septic system has to be inspected. I'll give you an example of some people that bought a lakefront home in Taney County. They had a home inspection. They're from St. Louis. When they bought the home and they come down, I think it wasn't a full-time residence, but they started using it, they had raw sewage running into the lake. And then they found out that a home inspection does not cover the septic system. And because this was lakefront property, they had to put up a retaining wall, bring in imported soil, put advanced system. That was our most, we helped them with that through our grant program. It cost $42,000 for a single family home just for the septic system. And so this would require inspections. It allows, once they do an inspection, they have 4 years to sell their home before that certificate expires. If the home is newer than 10 years, you do not need to have the certificate, long as it was permitted properly when it was installed. Again, there's no magic here. The good thing, the inspectors are already licensed by the state. There's already a community or a established inspection group of people across the state that state license for real estate transactions. So you don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel to who's going to inspect them. A lot of times you don't want, if a change in ownership is just to include or exclude a spouse, different reasons you might exempt them. If the building is going to be connected to a sanitary sewer in the near future, things such as that. In Stone County, looks like in the last two full years, 12 and 13, there's been about 200, a little over 200 inspections performed. That resulted in 56 tank replacements, 6 new systems, 13 replacement of lateral lines, and 56 tanks pumped. But those numbers are low because what's happened is when the people realize they have to get the certificate, they'll go out and repair their system. Most people know their system's failing. And so they will go and repair it first and then come and have the inspection done. And, of course, they pass because they have a new system. And so this is really low as far as what actually the ordinance has done to help stop the failing septic systems. I told you that we have a grant program. We received $1 million from the same pot of money that you guys got the $3 million for the sludge drying facility through the SRF program. We had $1 million to repair and replace failing septic systems. And we provide half grant, half loan to anyone that needs money in the whole basin. It includes all of Taney County, all of Stone County, up all the way to Springfield area. And so we will pay up to 60% of the cost, 30% as a grant, 30% as a loan, up to $25,000. If they qualify as low income, we'll pay 98% of the cost, 49% grant, 49% loan. Of course, then they would come up with 2%. If they're not low income, they'd come up with 40%. Of course, they'd have to pay the loan portion back. And that's ongoing right now. We do require a deed of trust on the property, but no credit check. Anybody can qualify if they have a failing septic system and they own the home. That's the main two requirements. The map just shows you that all of Taney County is included, parts of Berry County, all of Stone County, and the whole watershed. To date, we've replaced over 100 systems. We've spent about two-thirds of the money, about $687,000. And we figure that if those effluent had made its way in the waterways, it'd be over 100,000 gallons of wet pea soup algae or enough to fill all these tanker trucks. So we feel we've made a dent in some of the failing systems. Again, I'm just here for information. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you. We, like I said, we're a water quality organization. We've been around 14 years or around 12 years, and we just appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
A couple of questions. In Stone County ordinance,
But when you go back two or three slides and we're looking at who, in fact, that either one of those.
Or this one.
Is it Stone County that's overseeing this and has the oversight, or is it the Stone County Health Department?
In the case of Stone County, it is the Health Department. They did not need the commission's approval over this because this ordinance, they are authorized as a health department to pass that. I believe when this was under the sewer district also had that same authority. Now that it's not under an organization that actually has that authority, in my understanding, that it would require the commission's approval to do the ordinance in Taney County. Now, if you put septics back under the health department, I believe they would have the authority to pass an ordinance, or the Taney County sewer district would have the authority. But other than that, either your new environmental department or planning and zoning, where it's at now, does not have the authority, I do not believe, to pass the ordinance.
All right, let me back up. So the enabling statute allows either the county or the health center to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of times in bigger counties, especially, or bigger city areas, the authority is under like a building department or a building codes department, which requires then the county will pass the ordinance, kind of like you're doing here.
And help me a little bit further with the pros, and if there are any cons to why there would be a local ordinance compared to the state.
The state ordinance was designed for the minimum. A lot of counties are not near waterways. They have a lot of soil, so the only system they put in is a conventional system. Here, with our lack of soil, the rocks, steep slopes, all the things, the karst, that we have, the state's rules and ordinances really don't go far enough. And so when we get into the failures we have and the problems we have, we really don't have the tools. The state ordinance doesn't have the tools needed to really address our unique issues. And so you have to go a little farther. And then if you would like to do like these transfer certificates or something like this, you definitely need to go farther. But the state doesn't address a lot of the things that really we end up with in this area because of our waterways.
When Stone County acquired their grant, the septic remediation grant,
well, that's through our nonprofit organization.
Okay. And did you go through Clean Water Commission to acquire that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And that, like I said, that covers the whole watershed. That mm-hmm. includes all of Taney County also. It's two separate things. The ordinance is one thing. The grant programs are separate.
Questions, Brandon?
Again, I just brought you the Stone County ordinance just for an example. Like I said, if you decide to proceed with that, I would look at all the surrounding counties' ordinances. Most of them are online.
Dan wanted me to let you know he didn't run out on your presentation. He took a call from a doctor.
Sure.
He's been trying to talk with for some time.
Sure. No problem.
John, do you have some questions?
The only question I had was in regards to if the state health department still performed the loan evaluations. And I think David answered that they do. The only time that we saw those conducted in Taney County was when there was a mortgage company involved. But I assume that this is for any transfer of property. If it's mortgaged or if it's cash buy or whatever.
Right. Okay. The state health department a few years back established an licensed inspector program for real estate transactions. And they have the forms, they have all the paperwork. they license the inspector. I am a licensed inspector. I'm not practicing, but I wanted to make sure I understood what you had to go through to get your license. And so I do maintain a valid inspector license with the State Health Department. And so I have all the forms. I know what they have to fill out and what they do. It's a very comprehensive inspection.
Has the real estate industry embraced this?
This local in Stone County? I'll tell you that when Stone County started down this road, the real estate community was very worried. They were very skeptical. They thought it would kill some deals. And so what happened was Stone County started a committee that included a title company, a real estate person, and various others, a commissioner and various others. I was on that committee. And we sat down for over a year and talked about how this will work, why it wouldn't work, what we should see in it, and tweaked it. And after a year's worth of using the ordinance, the same real estate people that were very skeptical came forth and said, this is working. They support it now. And we haven't seen any real problems at all. It's not killing a sale that we've known of. And so it's
just become part of the norm now in closing.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
what we used to see is we'd see people buy a piece of property. A month later, their septic failed. Mm-hmm. They get a cost on it. They're looking at $10,000 or $5,000 to $10,000, who knows what.
That they hadn't anticipated.
Yes, and then that would result into attorneys becoming involved in a lot of different issues. And I think it's been a good thing that those have been required and on the mortgage side of it. But it's good to see that it's just a requirement in transfer of property. I don't think there's a large fee to that, to having that done. But it does protect a potential buyer, you know, from assuming or purchasing a piece of property that at least they won't run into that issue. But we've seen a lot of nightmares, you know, when we was with administering the septic program through the sewer district, of what people get into with these situations, and none of them is cheap to resolve. Mm-hmm. And some of these lots are so small that it's hard to even get a new system in some of the older recorded lots in Taney County. You know, so that was a major problem too. But I would like to add that the current health department guidelines do allow for a political subdivision to adopt their regulations and their ordinances that are currently on the books, and they can be more stringent if that political subdivision, for example, the county, would like to have a more stringent regulation, and not stringent meaning extremely harsh, but to fit Taney County, a ordinance or a regulation that would better fit our county versus Clay County in northwest Missouri.
Sure.
And that's what David's alluding to, is that our area is different in a lot of the ways that Taney County is.
Well, yeah, but I would assume that we're very similar to Stone County.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
He touched on the fees. The county charges a $25 application fee. The real cost is in paying the inspector, and that inspection is in the free market, so you depend on who you hire. But in normal, I'd say around $300 for the inspection. They have to uncover the tank. They have to look in the septic tank, and so a lot of times they have to get a backhoe, and if they can't find the tank. But around $300 usually to do the inspection itself.
We very much appreciate your time and your presentation.
Thank you. Allowing me. I appreciate it very much, Commissioners.
We will spend some time going through what you brought to us today. Thank you, sir. We will stand in recess for a couple of minutes until we can have the assessor's office come back in for court orders.